We thank you and we praise you, Father. We bless your holy name. Father, we thank you that you're here with us tonight. Father, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, that I will speak as the oracles of God. Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is here, ministering to each heart the thing that they need tonight. Father, we thank you that you are, according to John 14:26, our helper. And so I thank you, you help each person here tonight, Father God. I thank you that they'll see things from your word, see things about who you are, and see things about who they are in you. Out of your word tonight, Father, we thank you. The mystery of the gospel is revealed and unfolded to us tonight. We thank you for your great help. We thank you, you're our strengthener. You're our counselor. I thank you, you counsel these people tonight in their heart concerning situations in their lives, Father. Situations that they face in work and in their family, in their finances, in their body. They have the divine counsel of God in their heart tonight. That, Father, they would receive their answer and not even necessarily something that I said, but that you said to them. So we thank you. We receive your help. Just put your hands up and say, Father, I receive your help tonight. Oh, we do worship you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. Oh, you're worthy. Oh, you're worthy. You're worthy to be worshiped and praised. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you. God, you're so good. We worship you. Father, you're worthy. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise. Father, we worship you. Oh, we worship you, God. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord. We need you, Father. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I need him tonight, don't you? Reverend Tony sang a song last week. I don't know if you sang it here, Reverend Tony, but you sang it in Jamestown, I Need You More. And actually, I'd been singing that song all week, and then you sang it in the service. And because once you know him, you realize you need more of him. And then once you have more of him, you realize, I need some more. And then you have more, and you realize, I'm still not done, I need some more. And actually, the more you know him, the more you depend on him. And the less you depend on you, right? And that's where he wants us to be, is depending on him. Amen. Remember when Moses and Aaron and Hur, there was a battle going on. And remember, Moses was in the middle, Aaron was on one side, Hur was on the other, and the battle was going on. And what did they do? They put a rock under Moses, right? And that's sort of an illustration for us that, get out from your own feet, right? From standing on your own abilities, from standing on what you know, what you're capable of doing, what your resources are, and just lean over on him, right? And so that's the lesson of that, that he wants us to lean on him, right? Not just like mindless robots, but to depend on him. And once you come to know him more, then you realize you need to depend on him more. And so that's what we're doing here tonight, depending on him and learning how to do that. Psalm 84, verse 7, please. And the Lord's going to teach us some things tonight about a closer relationship with him. Psalm 84, 7, he's going to share with us some things about a closer relationship with him. And it says this in verse 84, 7 of Psalms. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. And one translation says, in your heart is the road to Zion. And so we know Zion and Jerusalem are the same. And so in your heart, and what was Zion and Jerusalem? Where God dwelled, right? And so in your heart is the road to Zion. And what he's saying here is that each of us have a walk with God, a journey with him. And this was about a pilgrimage that they would make to Jerusalem. And a pilgrimage is really just a spiritual journey to where he is and who he is. And that's what we're on, right? The Joneses and I were actually on a trip together with my husband, and we went to a conference in October. And I think we were in a Bob Evans restaurant, and we had prayed for our food. And there's a lot of people who don't want to pray for their food in public, right? They'll pray for it at home, but they don't want to pray for it in public. And we had prayed for our food, and I think it was on their way out. This guy came over, and he just said, I was so glad to see you all praying for your food in public. And he said, I'm on a spiritual journey. And really, we're all on a spiritual journey, right? Because if you're walking with him, you're learning him more and more and more each day, right? How he works, what he wants, what displeases him, what to avoid, you know, how to grow stronger in him, how to stand on the word, how to pray, all these things. And so, but each person's journey is individual to their life. And we make a mistake if we try to look at someone else's life, and most believers, who they see the most is the minister at the front, you know, who's leading the service, and they compare their life to maybe the minister's life, but each person is supposed to have their own relationship with him. They're supposed to each have their own walk with God, their journey with him and knowing him. And one is not better than another. And actually, we each need the other person to be doing the part that they have. And your part isn't mine, and my part isn't yours. And I'm so thankful for your part. Actually, before service this afternoon, Kelly texted me, and she said, we were praying for you. We were offering up extra prayers for you today. That me and some of the other ladies. And then while I was on my way here, Reverend Vanessa was driving me, so I wasn't texting while I was driving. And someone texted me and said they were praying for me, you know, coming out here and safe journey and all of that. And so I need that, right? And then at the same token, I'll come here and minister the word, and you need that. And we need Reverend Tony to show up and bring his supply in worship, and the people who do sound. We need each other. And but we don't just need each other to do our part in the local church. We need each other to follow God in our individual plan for our lives, right? And we do that in many different ways. You know, recently I was and have been praying with some of the ladies in the Jamestown Church, and we've been praying for what's in Romans 13, which is the ministers of justice. You know, those people in our city and in our county, just like I'm sure many of you do, pray for your mayors and your governors and your judges and all those things. Now, I never really, to be honest with you, wanted to pray for anything political. But actually, it was just something God put on our hearts to pray for, and I never even thought of it about as being political, but although it does affect politics. And but it was just something the Lord put on my heart that we were to pray for, and so we come together and we all pray concerning that. And as I've just done what the Lord said in praying for those people, I've learned Him more. So, see, you can even learn Him more when He puts someone on your heart to pray for, right? Or, like, remember the account that we read at the beginning of service for the offering, that the widow woman who gave to God's man, who gave to the work of God, when she did that, she learned about Him, didn't she? She learned that what? As I give, Luke 6:38, it's given back unto me, right? She gave him of the very little bit, the last that she had, and it came back to her. And then what? It came back again another day, and then another day. So she learned in her giving, God was supplying for her supernaturally for food. But then she also learned this. My giving doesn't just affect my checkbook. It doesn't just affect the groceries I have and the bank account I have and the job I have. It also affects the health of my children and whether or not they recover from something sometimes. And so we learn God through things that we go through in our life, through experiences that we have, or even through prayer assignments. You know, in praying for those ministers of justice, and it could be anybody, judges administer justice, but so do mayors are involved in that, and policemen and lawyers and, you know, CPS and all kinds of different things are involved in justice. And I learned that God loves people so much. He cares so much that people have justice, right? I know people who have been wrongly accused. You know, sometimes during a divorce, they'll use CPS against the other person, like, I'm gonna call CPS on you, and they falsely report things. And how many of you know God wants it to be made known when a report is made falsely and that someone is acquitted of an accusation or something that they're charged with, right? He cares about that. That he cares, he said to us that he wanted even cold cases solved. You know what those are? Like old cases that, you know, maybe they're 15, 20 years old and people have stopped looking into them. While we were praying, he said he wanted those old cases solved. Missing persons. You know, have you ever seen the, we had a couple famous cases in our city, in our county, of missing persons, even back to when I was in high school, and they've never solved it. And you know God wants it solved. Why does he want it solved? Because when something like that is solved, people are bound to give thanks to God. Because it was the efforts of men had been applied for years with no resolution. But see, remember when God made the axe head to swim? When the man was borrowing the axe head and they were working by the water and it fell into the water and he said, that axe head was borrowed, I need it back. And God caused it to float and then he picked it up off the water. See, God knows where hidden things are and what's going on in realms we don't know about. And he knows how to bring information to light, details to light, certain people's accounts to light. He knows how to bring evidence to light. So those things are solved. Why? Because then the families can say, thank God. And you know this too, when justice is brought and people see that a crime equals judgment, when that happens, they're afraid to sin, right? If someone knew that every time they robbed a store, they were going to get 20 years in prison instead of a slap on the wrist and a year in jail, maybe some probation, they'd be afraid to do it because this is going to cost me a big portion of my life. And so anyways, I learned that God cares about so many different aspects that I never even knew mattered or even were a thing. You know, one time when we were praying about evidence in cases, certain evidence. And we were praying about the way people take reports. The CPS people take reports. The policemen take reports. Maybe court advocates take reports. Why? Because if that stuff isn't put down accurately, it can determine if something works out justly, right? And so even in a prayer assignment, in your giving, like the woman at Zarephath, we learn him. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to learn him more and more each day. And it doesn't have to be weird. And it's not ooky spooky. And, you know, you're walking around with one eye closed and all that kind of stuff, trying to prophesy over everybody. It's not that. It's daily walking with him, following him. And we had women's group tonight, and we were talking about how the supernatural is so normal. And you can just be led by him and not even realize that God's leading you to do something. And I gave this example how a little while ago, I felt like I was supposed to go in February to see my mom and my stepdad in Florida for no reason, really. Just, I had this thought, I should go see them. But there wasn't like God saying, go to Florida in February, I have an assignment for you, or something like, it wasn't like he woke me up in the night, I had some divine dream. It would have been fine if he did. But it was nothing outwardly supernatural looking. Just the sense to go to Florida in February. And I didn't know it at the time, but it came up to the time I went, my stepdad has not been feeling well, has been quite sick. And it came to the time when I went was when he was right when he was diagnosed and right before he started treatment. And it was supernatural how God worked all that out in the timing. And I didn't know my parents were going to need anything, and I didn't know they were going to need it then. But it just this idea of go to Florida in February. So, and we what happens is when you follow those things, you learn him. Because at the time, it seemed just really normal. Didn't seem like anything outwardly spectacular, but afterwards you go, that was the leading of God, helping you learn him, but helping other people too. And so as you follow those things, just like the widow at Zarephath, she just helped the prophet of God. And then she learned afterwards how it supplied her house and how it kept her son alive or brought him back from the dead. And so we're just following him each day, paying attention to him. Go over here, if you will, 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And you can know him more and more each day if you pay attention to him. And it's simply something that we do. We learn him each day in the little things, right? In the little decisions that we make. When I get up in the morning, I acknowledge him. I acknowledge, Father, I thank you that you're with me today. I thank you, Lord. I receive all the wisdom that you have for me today as a wife and as a mother. I thank you for your help as I go about my day. I thank you I'm in the right place at the right time. And I just start to talk to him, right, and acknowledge him. And so we can, you know, wake up in the morning sometimes and just jump into things, right? Jump into answering our phone. You know, how many people, and you don't have to raise your hand, I'm not asking for that, but when you first wake up, the first thing you do is reach for your phone, right? There's a real temptation for that. And most people sleep with or by their phone. But how many of you know then that gets your mind going on things, right? Then you answer one email, then you start answering another, then another. It's like a domino effect. You know, once you go down that rabbit hole, it's hard to come back out. And your day just gets started. Then you're like, well, I'm already up, so I might as well go start the coffee. And then when you're down making the coffee, you start the laundry. And then once you start the laundry, you realize the birds need fed and all this stuff, you know. But just wake up with him. Just take 5 minutes. Acknowledge him. Ask him questions. You know, when you ask him questions, you acknowledge that he knows more than you, and you need to know what he knows. John 14:26 says that he's the counselor. But you know the thing, if you go to a counselor in the world, in order for them to help you, you have to actually talk to them. Did you realize that? And people want God to just like drop things on them, and they're not even talking to him. And we do highly encourage being filled with the Holy Ghost and praying in other tongues. But a really good start would be just talking to him in the morning when you get up, acknowledging him. Lord, what do you want me to do today? You order my steps. So I thank you, Lord. I'm going to be listening to you today, listening for you, for your instruction. It's very simple, just things like that, getting to know him more in such a simple way. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Listen to this. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And so God doesn't want you the same today as you were yesterday. And he wants you even stronger and knowing more of him tomorrow than you know today. But we have to hunger for that. We have to actually acknowledge him and talk to him and pay attention to him and look into his word. Did you know, and I'm going to share some things with you out of the scripture in a minute, that we should be fellowshipping with him every day, and it's not just through prayer. You can fellowship with him through his word. That a visit with the word is a visit with him. And so a visit with the word will strengthen your visit with him in prayer. And if we're not in the Bible every day, reading it, meditating in it, studying it, going over it, if we're not doing that, we should. That's the very beginning of knowing him more and more. So why don't you go over here, if you will, to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. So we're not here to simply mimic someone else's life with God. We're here to learn him for ourselves. Now, we can have other examples that help us to know how to do that, and that's fine. But the problem is when we try to make our life like someone else's life. Because God made us each individual, and he wants to teach each of us specific things concerning our own walk with him, our own life with him. 1 John 1:3 says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And so we should be having fellowship with him every day. Now, we said on the announcements, you know, there's going to be no fellowship, you know, after service today. Well, we just meant like the official, you know, snacks and coffee and that sort of thing. But, you know, the general idea is you actually talk to somebody. If you're not talking to them, you're not really fellowshipping with them, right? Or praying together or sharing something like, you know, going over the word together. And so if we're going to fellowship with him, there needs to be a time of interaction, right? A time when we actually come together and know each other more. And so here are some very easy, simple ways you can do in your everyday life to know him more, to have a closer relationship with him. And these are just suggestions. He'll teach you as things go on. How about this? Ephesians 1:16 says that we... If you could bring that up, could you bring up Ephesians 1:16? "We cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now, we've talked about how, and Tim has a book on being filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues. He's taught on that at different times, and that's really good. We should be doing that. But sometimes throughout your day, all you're doing is making a mention of someone, right? That's part of fellowshipping with him. I was sharing in women's group that for whatever reason, sometimes I'm led to pray for people who I went to high school with. And I don't know these people anymore. You know, I'm not on social media. I don't go to the reunions or anything like that. But many times the Lord will bring up somebody's name that I went to high school with. And a little while ago, I just thought of this guy who I'd gone to high school with. And I don't have any knowledge of him. I didn't know anything about his life. I don't even know anybody that knows him. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know he was still around town. His name just came up to me. So all I did was make mention of him in my prayer. I just said, "Lord, you brought his name to me. I don't know what he needs, but I'm asking you to help him." And then maybe just prayed in the Holy Ghost for a few minutes for him. And that was it. I just mentioned him. Well, then, and that happened a few times. Then a little while later, which was, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I got the paper, and I don't read the paper, but I opened up the paper, and here was his name on several of the pages in the newspaper, and it was for people who had defaulted on their taxes on properties, and his name was in there. Now, I don't ever read the paper, for one, to even see his name, but I don't know him anymore. I mean, I was in high school with him, but I haven't seen him or talked to him in a long time. And yet the Lord just brought him to my remembrance. It's as simple as that. It's just easy and simple. You can just make mention of someone. All right, how about this? Worshiping the Lord. We did that tonight, but did you know you should not just worship God once a week on a Saturday night when we're all here with Reverend Tony and the worship team? That worship is a lifestyle. that we wake up worshiping Him. We go to bed worshiping Him. We worship Him throughout the day. And so you can just worship Him. We talked about standing on Christ the rock. If you're believing for something, you need something in your life, do you have a scripture? And you're bringing that scripture to the Lord concerning that situation? That's another way you get to know Him more. How about this? Matthew 7, verses 24 to 26. And you've read this account before. Matthew 7, verses 24 to 26. I'll just read it here off the screen. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. You can keep going. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. What is the rock? The Lord Himself and His Word. And He wants us to build our life on Him. So it's as simple as knowing the Word, standing on the Word. I talked about Hebrews 7:7, if you could bring that up. Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And we talked about asking questions. When we ask questions, we acknowledge that He is the better. He knows more than us. He is greater than us. And we need to know what He knows, right? So your walk with Him could involve questions. You know, I ask Him questions every day. And not this question, why, God? When is this going to end? You know, why is this happening to me? You know, not those questions. Those are questions of doubt. I'm talking about, Lord, I'm in this situation. How do I get out? What is the way out? The Bible says He always makes a way of escape. What is that way of escape? Or you have something going on with your kids or your grandkids. Lord, according to James 1:5, I ask You for wisdom as a mother, a grandmother, a father, a grandfather, whatever. I ask You for wisdom raising my kids or in the situation with my grandkids. We get to know Him more by asking Him those questions. Also, declaring something. Do you declare anything over your life? You should. Every day you should be declaring things for yourself and for your family. And also you should be binding and loosing things for your family, right? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you're not doing that, you should. It's part of knowing Him and growing in Him. And also this. Invite Him into your day. We talked about that. At the start of your day, invite Him to be a part of your day. You know, these are all just little things. There's lots of other things. We need to take time to study the Word, to meditate in the Word. We need to take extra time praying in the Holy Ghost and following Him in prayer. But these are just some very simple, basic things. Now, let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because I want you to see that following God is not just, it's not just having a regiment. You know, have you ever set up for yourself in your mind, every day I'm going to pray at this time. Every day I'm going to get up and study the Bible for this amount of time. Every day I'm going to pray for that situation. And it all sounds really good, and you might do it for like a week, and then what happens? Oh, something comes up with the kids, you know, something comes up with your job, something comes up with your husband, something comes up in your body or whatever, and next thing you know, you're off this regimen or routine that you set for yourself, and then what happens when you don't do it? You condemn yourself, right? That you put these own restrictions on your life, and then when you didn't fulfill it, you feel bad about yourself. But if you're just living with Him and for Him all the time, you won't feel like that because He's part of your everyday. He's part of your all the time, right? And 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What is the letter? It's the law. Do you ever put laws upon yourself? things you're definitely going to do and things you're definitely not going to do concerning your walk with God. You think to yourself, This week I'm praying an hour every day in tongues no matter what. I'm going to study my Bible for a half hour every day no matter what, whatever that is. And those things are good. And we should have prayer with God. And we should study our Bible. But when we put such rigid rules on ourselves for those things every single day, we may fall short of it. And the Bible says then it tends to kill instead of bring life, right? And what does it kill? The enjoyment, right? The refreshing of it, the knowing him. Because what happens is you're trying to fulfill something that you set up in your own mind to do, and that became the goal instead of knowing him. And what he really wanted was fellowship with you. He wanted to talk to you about your life and about not only your life, about things that you can do in your life that affect other people. And so sometimes what we do is we put these rules on us and these regulations that are so rigid, then it ends up actually hurting our spiritual life instead of helping it. It actually dries it up and kills it instead of bringing life. And go over here, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 8. Hebrews 10, 8. I want to know him more, don't you? Don't you want to know him more? Don't you want to hear his voice more clearly? Don't you want to have greater revelation out of the word? Listen, life is not meant to be left up to chance and just a huge mystery. We ought to know things. The Bible says you can know things to come. Do you know, it's amazing to me. Many times, and this is not because my husband's a pastor and it's not because he's in the ministry. This is for every believer. We should know things. It's not that you'll know everything, but the things you need to know, you'll know. And it's amazing to me that every time someone is going to leave the church, I'm talking about people who are really part of the church, not someone who comes and goes for 2 months and then they're gone. You know, they really weren't part to begin with. I'm talking about people who were here for years and they're going to leave the church. You know, they're upset about something or offended. Do you know the Lord tells my husband way in advance of that? That so-and-so, either that they're being tempted to leave or that they are going to leave. How good of God, right? Not only that he gives you that advance warning so you can help them to avoid that pitfall or that mistake, so you can help pray for them, but also so things don't catch you off guard, because a lot of times sudden things can be more upsetting. But if you're slowly prepared for it, it's more helpful, right? But for your own life, is everything always, you know, chaotic? Is everything always a mess? Is there one trial after another? Is there one difficulty after another? He doesn't want you to live that way. Remember the scripture that we read? It said, you go from glory to glory. Not crisis to crisis, you know, downfall to downfall, you know, one upsetting thing after another. Now, sometimes there's seasons of that if you're under attack or something like that. But I'm talking about a lifestyle. Do you know people who they always have something going on, one after another? You know, first something at their house happens, then something in their finances happen, then something in their bodies happen, then something in their families happen. If this is happening, we need to stop and ask ourselves, what's going on here? Have we opened the door to the enemy? Are we just not following him like we should? Because you know that the Holy Ghost will help you avoid some of those things. And if they can't be avoided, he'll help lessen the impact of it. And so we ought to be walking in a way with him that we can know things about our life. Amen? Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 8 through 11. Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings, and offering for sin you would not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. We'll keep going till verse 11. Then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God, and he takes away the first that he may establish the second. And by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. And every priest... this is the verse I wanted to get to. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And this is what we do. We're like priests, right? Going before God day after day, trying to do the same thing each day and thinking that it's a blessing, and it's not. Did you know your walk with God isn't going to be the same? We're the priests in the New Testament, right? We have the sacrifice of praise. We are worshiping and praising Him. We are meditating in the Word. But you know, He said they're doing something wrong about that. It didn't accomplish something, and it doesn't accomplish something for us either. You're not just a robot doing the same exact thing every single day, and you get to the end of the day, and it's the same output. Then you start over, the same tasks every day. You get to the end of the day, the same outcome. No, we're to live with Him each day, right? Some days I study my Bible more. Some days I pray more. Some days I just worship Him all day long. I didn't do either of those things, you know, praying in the Holy Ghost or reading my Bible. I just worshiped Him all day. And so what does the day call for? You find out with God. It's not that you don't want to be like these priests. Every day they do the same thing over and over and over again. And He said it never did anything. Right? And the same thing for us. You don't want to get in such a rigid thing where you're just doing the same thing day after day after day, you know, saying the same scriptures. Have you found yourself ever doing that? Where you're saying the same scriptures every day and you almost don't even think about it. There's no heart in it anymore. You're not even thinking about the meaning of the verse. You're just saying the words, right? And it's good to have confessions for yourself and your family and that sort of thing. I'm not diminishing that. But what I'm saying is sometimes what happens is you're reading words off a page. And that's all it is. There's no heart to it. There's no faith in it. There's no trusting God in it. There's simply reading words. We don't want to. That's like these priests. It's like you might as well go to the church and light a candle. It does nothing. Pay your quarter and light a candle. That's all you're doing. You felt better, but nothing got done. What we really want is fellowship with Him. We want Him to know us. We want to know Him. We want Him, and He works together with how you are, right? He's not expecting you to be perfect. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your shortcomings. He knows the things that you do well and the things that you stumble at. And guess what? He still loves you. He still enjoys you. He still calls you worthy, and He likes you. Did you know that? He really does. He thinks you're worthy. He sees you as worthy, and He actually enjoys you. And so we want to work with God on a daily basis in a personal way. And we don't want to mimic what somebody else is doing. We don't want to just copy down a recipe. We don't want to just follow steps. We want to follow Him and let Him order our steps, right? But can I tell you something? This takes time. It does. It takes time and purpose. You have to determine in your heart, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. Did you know, so when Tim and I were first dating, you know, like you do when you first date, you talk on the phone all the time, then you hang up and go to each other's house, right? And you talk some more, then you go out to eat and you talk some more. And what are you doing? You're learning each other. But then, see, now fast forward, so we were dating for a couple years, and now we've been married. Last summer, we celebrated our 20th anniversary, and now I can tell by the look on his face what something means, right? You can tell. They don't even have to say anything now. You just know. Or he can say something real small, and you go, I know. I already just know what the rest of that is. You don't even need to say anything else. I know his preferences. I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. And that's the same thing with God. We learn him. What does he like? What does his voice sound like? I didn't realize God was using me in that, but now I learned that's how it works. That's how he works with me. And then you're more aware of it the next time. So it will take time. But also paying attention. And so, you know, when you talk to your spouse, I mean, you should mostly pay attention. Just kidding. I admit, I zone out sometimes. I'm like, I'm looking, but I'm not really there, you know, because every spouse does that at some point. But generally, you pay attention to what they're saying. You know what I mean? And that same thing is true with God. We need to pay attention to what he's saying from his word, but in your daily life. And listen to this. If my husband and I, we each have a phone, and it's a good thing to have, but if no one ever picks up the other end, if every time I call him, he doesn't answer, there's never going to be an interaction. And, you know, God is many times trying to get our attention. He's calling us to pray for someone. He's calling us to do something, to give to somebody. But we have to actually answer. Because what happens is we say, well, God doesn't ever do anything in my life. No. You don't ever work with him in doing anything in your life. Did you know he doesn't just force himself in your life? You have to actually work with him. We're workers together with him. Okay, go over here, if you will, in remembering this verse. It's not just a religious duty we do every day. Exodus chapter 16. And remember that, well, here, turn to the verse, and then I'll share it with you. Exodus chapter 16, verse 8. We're going to read verse 8, then 13, then 14. And it says in Exodus 16:8, and remember, the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of things for the time we live in now, for the New Testament times. Okay, so keep that in mind. Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord hears your murmurings, which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." Okay, go to verse 13. "And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew laid round about the host." Verse 14. "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there was a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It's manna,' for we knew not what it was. And Moses said unto him, 'This is the bread which the Lord gives you to eat.'" Now go to verse 19. "Moses said, 'Let no man leave of it until the morning.' Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." And this is what he was providing for the Israelites, was daily bread. He provided for them day by day. And he had a supply for them. Now here it's the illustration of food. And then we also know water from the rock and water. And so that's not only the word of God, but him in prayer. But he said this food was to be fresh each day. What they received from him was to be fresh each day. And that it was not carried into the next day. And this is an illustration of our life with him in the New Testament, that he has things he wants to tell us each day, things he wants to impart to us to nourish and to feed our life, to sustain us, meat for our life. Maybe it's revelation out of the word. Maybe it's an instruction what to do with your kids. Maybe it's how to invest in something or what job to take. There's fresh instruction and fresh fellowship with him every single day to sustain your life. And you can't live on what you heard from him 2 months ago and let it just carry you. That doesn't happen. You're going to wither up in life. And so remember, though, they tried. Even though Moses said, you get fresh bread every day, fresh quail too. And he said, even though you're getting fresh food every day, what did they do? They tried to carry it into the next day, and it didn't work. It couldn't sustain them. It grew bad. And so sometimes we feel like that place in our life where nothing's going right, we don't know what to do in situations. Ask him. The Bible says everyone that asks receives. And that's not just a financial thing. It's instruction for your life. What do you need to do in your job? What do you need to do with a spouse? What do you need to do regarding your kids? You know, things in life, the everyday things in life. What should I do concerning things in my body? Ask him and he'll tell you day by day. And so just like the Israelites, they were not meant to carry that bread into the next day. He wanted us to have fresh fellowship, fresh instruction from him each day. Go to Matthew 6:11, and we'll see this in the New Testament. We're just about ready to close. Matthew 6:11. It's not hard. We have to stop thinking that. It's so hard to know him. No, that's because you haven't even tried. You know, there may be a little bit of growing pains in the sense of it may be a little awkward at first as you begin to know him. But as you learn him more and more, you'll gain more and more confidence. Just stay with it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. And it says this, give us this day our daily bread. And so don't wait. Start now. Start tonight before you go to bed. Have a visit with his word, his bread, his word, and then talk to him. Ask him about things. Ask him what to do in a situation. Worship him for helping you before you even receive the instruction. You know, whatever it is you need direction or instruction or help with in your life or maybe someone close to you, actually talk to him about it. He wants you to do that. And also, we'll close here. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. And can we look at this in the Amplified Classic? The Amplified Classic. You were bought with a price. You were actually purchased with the precious blood of Jesus and made his own. You are worthy. He wants to help you. Some people think, well, what would God do for me? I don't feel worthy or I don't feel, you know, important. No, he wants to work with you whether you've been saved for 2 minutes, for 10 years, for 20 years, whether you're in ministry, you've never served in the church at all. You are worthy of his help. And listen, he sent Jesus so that he could be crucified, buried, and risen again, not just so that we could be saved, but so that we could have his direction, so that we could receive the Holy Spirit, which would give us direction in our life day by day. He purchased that for us, and yet so many people just go without his help. They just don't listen to what he's saying. They don't ask him what he's saying. They don't pay attention to what he's saying. And here's a big one, and this is part two. Once you hear what he says, you have to obey it. You have to actually do it. It doesn't do any good to know what to do if you don't actually do what he said, right? And then when he sees that you obeyed what he told you, guess what he's going to do? Tell you something else to do. And it's not hard. It's not laborious. It's not, you know, difficult to follow him. We just listen for what he says, cooperate with that, and then listen for the next thing he says. It's not hard. But listen, believers should know more and have an advantage to those who aren't. If we're living just like the world, it doesn't do us any good. He came so that you could have victory in situations, so that you could know things ahead of time, so that you could know what his word said about things, but you actually have to apply it. All right, Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word, Lord. We worship and honor you. We thank you so much, Father God, that you came and sent Jesus for us. We thank you, Lord, that we don't just have eternal life. We have the abundant life, the life full of joy and peace and the leading of God and the word of God and the strength of God and the health of God. We thank you. We have a full supply in our finances, that, Father God, we have a full supply of wisdom and knowledge in what to do. Father, all the wonderful things you've given us as believers. And Lord, we just come and we approach you now, Father. And Father, we just thank you. We can approach you, that you purchased that for us. And we just want to thank you and praise you for your word tonight. Now, if there's anyone here and you've never asked Jesus into your heart as Lord and Savior, you can do that now before we leave, and we will pray together with you. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm born again. Ask yourself this. If I were to depart this life now, would I leave and go to heaven? Would I know that I was going to spend eternity with God the Father? And if you can't for sure answer that question, that yes, I'm born again, and yes, I know Jesus is my Savior, if you'll just raise your hand, we'll pray with you now, and you can invite Jesus into your heart. We're not going to call you up front. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to ask you to do anything. You can just simply receive Jesus as your Savior in your seat. Is there anyone who would like to receive Jesus as their Savior? They would like to be born again. You would like to be assured that if you leave this life, when you leave this life, that you'll go home to be with the Father. Is there anyone that would like to be born again? I don't see any hands. Is there anyone that would like to rededicate their life? That you've accepted him as Savior, but you haven't walked with him, walked in fellowship with him, lived close to him, but you would like to rededicate. You would like to come back into fellowship with him. Is there anyone else that would like to do that? I see that hand. Anybody else? All right, let's all pray this together. Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for the cleansing of our sins. Father, we ask you to forgive us for when we've missed it and walked away from you. We thank you, Lord. We can now come back into fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you stand with me to your feet? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We worship you and praise you. We bless your holy name. We thank you. And Father, we'll go from this place and be a doer of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.